How would your life be different if you learned to let go of the things that have already let go of you? From relationships long gone, to old grudges, to regrets, to all the could've and should've, to the dead friendships you still hang on to, free yourself from the burden of a past you cannot change.
All right, so I ask that you nod if any of these things ring true for you. Have you ever interviewed for a job, not gotten it, and thought about what it was that you could have done or said differently? Have you ever been cooking or baking and following a recipe, but feeling brave, veer off from the directions a bit, and based on the final product, noted which of your culinary decisions were less than savory? All right. Now, while driving, have you ever been shamelessly belting out a Christmas song on the radio, then out of nowhere notice red and blue flashing lights behind you and have a Mr. Policeman inform you that you were going 18 miles over the speed limit in 25 mile an hour zone, and what is it exactly, ma'am, that you were doing at the time? Let's break those three scenarios down. Ask our what-ifs, and see how questioning our past could improve our future. Or maybe it's been years since you've been invited to interview for a job. So what if you had done more research about both typical and made-to-trip-you-up questions an employer could ask you? Then you would have felt more confident about your preparedness. So it's likely that in the future, you'll compile a list of questions for your next interview so that you're more knowledgeable of what to expect. So what if you hadn't added so much salt to that crock pot of beef? Then your family wouldn't be going into sodium shock right now. You could note on your recipe card, use 1 teaspoon salt, not 3 tablespoons. And finally, what if your foot hadn't been so heavy on the pedal? Then you wouldn't have had to pay such a large, unnecessary bill right before the holidays. You could set your cruise control next time you're in a 25 mile per hour zone so that you can more freely sing along to "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." The truth is, I personally cannot say I have no regrets. Certainly not enough to have the phrase tattooed on my arm. Have you seen the Milky Way candy bar commercial where the tattoo artist is eating a Milky Way and is so distracted by its deliciousness that she misspells a word on the guy's tattoo and now he's stuck with a phrase that says, "No regrets." Yeah, that's just ironic. But whenever somebody proudly tells me that they have no regrets in their life, I boldly like to think the same thing of myself. I'll think, yeah, I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't experience every single thing I've experienced in my life to this point. There's truth to that, but I just can't fully believe that I don't have any regrets. I can think of a number of less than stellar decisions I made as a 20 and 21-year-old living alone in New York City. I must spare you the details for sure, but I was definitely fearless and naive, reckless and oblivious. A couple times were such scary situations that over 15 years later, I find myself getting caught up in thinking, holy cats, what if I had, or what if that hadn't, ... Today I'm grateful for luck being on my side back then. But it's those what ifs now, that now as a parent, I get upset with myself about and literally cringe over. And what about those what ifs from our past that we never had control of? circumstances in which we did not have a choice? What if I were not a daughter raised by a narcissistic mother? What if I grew up feeling close to my mother? What if I knew back then that she was narcissistic and that I didn't have to wait till I was 28 years old to find that out? I can't possibly know. I have no way of knowing how it would have been different, and I can do nothing to change any part of my past. For example, I feel that I lost out on a childhood that consisted of maternal, unconditional love. From a mother, I will never know what that feels like. I remember what it looked like observing some of my friends with their mothers. I didn't understand why I didn't have that. Later in life, once I did understand, the what-ifs came pouring out, and I was left feeling bitter, stuck, and disappointed. As you'll soon see, you can either what-if yourself and dwell on those negative feelings, or you can allow what-if to help you create other paths to achieve better future outcomes. It all depends on you.
An excerpt from These Roses by Waldo Emerson. There is no time to them. There is simply the rose. It is perfect in every moment of its existence. Before a leaf bud has burst, its whole life acts. In the full-blown flower, there is no more. In the leafless root, there is no less. Its nature is satisfied, and it satisfies nature in all moments alike. But we postpone or remember. We do not live in the present, but with reverted eye lament the past, or heedless of the riches that surround us, stand on tiptoe to foresee the future. We cannot be happy or strong until we too live with nature in the present above time.
In the book, Pay Attention, Say Thank You, Seven Rules and Practices for Joyful Living, the author, M. Gail Woodard, refers to a particular mental tool I'm sure you are familiar with. It's a technique that helps to change who you are so you can become more of who you want to be. Now, I personally have always greatly disliked the phrase, fake it till you make it. The first time it was given to me as a direction was in the earlier days of my depression diagnosis. How on earth, when you're in the depths of such a consuming illness, can you crawl out and have the energy to fake anything? I never understood that, and I digress. So back to the author and her version of faking it till you make it. Let's just say that you lack artistic skill. What if you need to help a child with a project, or put together something for work, or ask to prepare a gift basket for a silent auction? All things that take some measure of creativity. Well, I can bet that you have a friend or an acquaintance who is creative and skilled in art. What if you act as if you are this person? Ask yourself how your friend would approach this task. If you truly indulge yourself in this consideration, you'll likely begin to see the task through your friend's eyes and experience an inspiring vote of confidence. Who knows? What if you attempt something new that you know so little about, you don't know enough to be afraid of all the ways you could fail? What might you accomplish then?
What if? Last night, while I lay thinking here, some what ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if nobody likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow taller? What if my head starts getting smaller? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems well, and then the nightmare what ifs strike again.
When you create anything, you cannot know where that energy will go. Plants scatter their seeds. They do not know which seeds will sprout or where their seeds will be taken. I really like these thoughts from a blog called Word from the Well. I'm going to guess that living a what-if life is more common for us in terms of the future. Talk about letting our minds race with all the possibilities that could take place in relation to something in the future, something that has not happened yet. It's the fear of how, in this present moment, we ultimately have little control over what could happen in the next 5 minutes, not to mention 5 years from now. Can you imagine how much of our time has been exhausted on those worries and the what-ifs, all the stress, anxiety, and energy wasted? Consider what it would be like to be a parent without being attached to your children turning out a particular way. This is a really tough one for me and has already created a lot of stress, anxiety, and wasted energy. Having grown up the way I briefly hinted at earlier, I very much want to try and influence how my two boys feel about themselves. Do I really have much power over this? What about trying my darndest to raise boys who like to dabble in art, enjoy school, and prefer a book over Nicky, Ricky, Dicky, and Don sometimes? That's a kid's sitcom on Nickelodeon, by the way. And a really big one is it so wrong how very much I want my two sons to grow up adopting the remarkable Unitarian Universalist values that I myself was decades behind in finding out about and embracing? The answer to these, I think, is this. No, I don't have much power. And yes, I can scatter my seeds for my boys, but whether those seeds sprout and thrive is not up to me. In all reality, not only will they develop great qualities on their own, but also with a little bit of help from nature and community. What a lesson that'll be. Do my best and let go. I came across an article entitled, What If? The Art of Scenario Thinking for Nonprofits. I navigated my way through the business jargon and discovered its impressive points about how the two words, what if, stretch our thinking. That the possibilities and challenges we weigh as a result of asking those what if questions become clear to us. and that any opportunities to change become easier to realize and visualize. I just love that image of stretching our thinking or stretching our minds, trying possibilities on for size. What if you began taking steps toward doing a 180 in your career path? What if you picked up a book about how to play piano, or took an automotive maintenance class at the tech? What if you reach out to that person you once connected with but have since lost touch with? Back to the pay attention, say thank you book. Gail Woodard encourages us to ask the what if questions. She describes those two words as creative tools that can help us look at our beliefs and examine why they may be holding us in a less than satisfactory place. And by beliefs, she's referring to non-spiritual beliefs. Believing something you have been told yet have no personal experience with or knowledge about, and questioning how these particular beliefs got into your head in the first place. Why are we living in this often self-made reality? Why are we holding on to it? Does this grasping onto what we know actually encourage us to resist and avoid contemplating a what-if question? If we can go so far as to ask the question, asking what if exposes and challenges those beliefs we've been stuck with, beliefs we thought were simply the norm, then yes, the real work begins, because now we're faced with how we truly feel about something. The author goes on to say how it's as simple as drawing your attention to another possibility, and voila, you're already considering another reality that could eventually become your reality. However, you have to, quote, allow yourself to relish the potential you are expressing and yet remain unattached to the outcome, unquote. What? Is that possible? It's very possible. Except in my case, I attached to an outcome. Some of you may know that for many years, my goal was to someday be a mental health counselor. I planned and worked very hard toward that goal. I received my master's degree and began my counseling career. But less than a year after receiving my degree, my world crumbled as I found myself in a major depressive episode. That is not what I had planned for. I was truly attached to the anticipated outcome, and I'm still struggling with the loss as I had to leave that career. Maybe this is something you can take with you. Go and dream and build and create, contribute everything you have to what you want out of life and enjoy doing it. But acknowledge that in the end, there simply are forces much greater and larger than us. We can only do what we can do now. It's up to time and the universe after that. Live like plants who scatter their seeds and do not know which seeds will sprout, or where their seeds will be taken. Our worship leader, Catherine, noted the power in those two little words, what if. Right, they absolutely have the power to limit or inspire us. We are responsible for what happens as a result of asking the question. Once it's out there, we need to pay attention to our deepest heartfelt responses to the possibilities we're creating. Nothing has changed in the world except that you have spoken a new possibility. I love that. It It's the speaking of new possibilities that bring about the creative solutions to all of life's challenges. Once again, Gail Woodard suggests that if you feel encouraged or feel a sense of relief or gratitude at the potential for change, it is likely that is your path. And like Catherine pondered, wouldn't that be amazing if it could lead to something great?